Good evening. It's good to be with you this rainy Wednesday. Makes you wonder how Noah felt, doesn't it? I mean, it feels like it's rained forever here. And probably in 2 weeks we'll hear it's a drought. But anyway, it is good to be with you and look forward to continuing our study this evening about embracing loving service. And so it's interesting, we talk about loving service and you think about the situation in Tennessee. So Jennifer and I went to church with a family in Fort Wayne, and they were directly impacted by the losses in Tennessee. And so you know, you never know when life is going to present you with opportunities to serve others, and sometimes it's, you know, unfortunate situations that require us to step up and serve, and then sometimes it's just us seeing opportunities to reach out and serve others. And so, you know, we've been talking about God's eyes, having God's eyes when it comes to loving service, and so it's definitely in trying times and difficult times, it's very easy to see where there's a need to serve. But there are other times when maybe it's not so apparent that we need to serve others. And so that's why we strive to be like God and recognize there's a need to serve at all times. So we had finished talking about what the Bible had said about service, and we had talked about, you know, the typical attitude or conventional wisdom says that when it comes to service, we're usually thinking about somebody serving us. And the scriptures teach us through the example of Christ that the Son of Man didn't come to serve, but to be, didn't come to be served, but came to serve and to give his life for many. And that becomes really the goal for us, is to be Christians who are striving to be like Christ and serve like him. And so we had just got into our discussion about the joy that comes from serving. And we talked about the fact that when we serve others, who are we really serving? Yeah, we're really serving God, right? And one of the books that I'd read, I shared with this with you, and it's just something to keep in mind, was after we've served somebody, the best thing that they could ever say is that God is good, instead of you are good, right? And so hopefully when we serve others, they recognize the fact that we're doing it not for our own glory, but for God's glory. And the purpose is really to lift up Jesus' name and be an example. As we think about serving others, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3 and 4. And this kind of reemphasizes a little bit about the purpose of service. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Carrie, do you have that? Okay. What is this verse telling us? What are we seeing here? What's it warning us of? Right. Yeah. How easy is it when you do something to want to tell others about it? When you do something good for somebody, you want to tell somebody, don't you? Yeah. And what happens here is this warning of do nothing out of selfish ambition. Don't let it be that you are seeking the rewards of men, but rather in humility value others above yourself. What does that mean, in humility value others above yourself? Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely serving others without this expectation of payback. It's not keeping a little book that says, okay, I've helped Chris three times, and so now I know that I can call on him three times, right? That's really not what it's about. It's about helping others and helping them see Christ in you. Whose responsibility is it to serve others? Ours. In the church, what are some of the common thoughts about whose responsibility it is to serve? The elders, the preachers, the deacons. Why is that? Why do we think that?
Takes the pressure off me.
Yeah. Takes the pressure off. Because what are we thinking if we're not serving in one of those capacities? Who's got it under control? Somebody else is going to do that, right? Somebody else. Have you ever thought that yourself? Have you seen a need and thought, somebody else is going to do that? Yeah, I think we're all guilty of it, right? If we're honest with ourselves, we will find excuses to not serve others. What are some of the excuses we make when it comes to not serving others? Time. I don't have the time. I don't have finances. Okay, I may think I can't do it. Yeah. I may not be the right person, that lacks self-confidence. Yeah, they have family. Let them take care of them. What else? Energy? Yeah, energy. I just don't have the energy. I'm dragging as it is, right? You know, I'm doing all I can. What else? So I hope you heard that, because there's absolutely no way I could repeat that. But it's really close to who's on first, and, you know, that's the kind of poem it was. But, yeah, the point of that story was everyone else is thinking somebody else has it under control, and therefore nobody is doing anything. Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm going to get a picture of that, and I'll read it to you. We'll post it. There you go. We will post it. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a great point. So we're all at different stages in life, right? And we have different abilities and talents at those stages, you know. When I was younger, my talents were if somebody needed something moved, I could help them move it, you know. Now I just call Kurt, and he's still younger than me, I think, I hope. But yeah, as life progresses, our abilities and the ways that we can serve might change. And so it's a great point. So I want to, I'll come back to that. I've got a slide that I want to touch on here in a second, but I don't want to jump in too soon. But we're going to come back to that point because that's part of what I wanted to talk about tonight. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. And I think this goes along very well with the comment that was just made. Does someone have that? 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. Yeah. What do we learn from this verse, these two verses?
Everyone has
it. Yeah. We each have some special abilities, don't we? I had this later in the slide in the lesson, but I just can't wait. I'll bring it forward. So there are these two circles here, and when the circles intersect, something interesting happens. And so we've learned that everyone has a gift. What is your challenge then? What do you have to figure out? How to use it? Before that, what it is? Yeah. Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what you're able to do right now? You know, we've talked about the time in life and where you're at. What is it that right now you are able to do to serve others? And so if we're going to be in loving service, we have to spend some time really doing some self-assessment on where are we and what can we actually do? What is within the realm of our abilities? After you know that, what's the expectation? Yeah. Share your gift. So to just know what it is and stop there is no good, right? And what happens when you know what your gift is and you start sharing your gift? That's the intersection of those two circles. What happens there? You apply it. You know what your purpose is, right? And so what I want you to think about is, you know, have you ever spent time thinking about what God has blessed you with the abilities to do? Telling people what to do is a very special gift. I think telling people what to do, yeah, that is a gift. I think you have to use it wisely. Delegation is a gift, yeah. Wisdom is always really important when you're telling somebody what to do. And remember, this isn't just service, it's loving service. So if you're telling him with love what to do, you're okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You get to that last half an hour where there's just a bunch of stuff sitting around and you got a bunch of new guys ready to lift something heavy, but it's just little trinkets. So that the person that can tell people what to do with that stuff,
yeah.
That is a gift. It's
yeah.
Important. I mean, there's times when there's a lot of people that have gifts that don't know how to
do yeah.
them and they need somebody to say, hey, you go do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like Chris will have it'd be a fun car ride home. They drove separately. Well, there you go. That's part of the parking problem we have, Chris. So when we start really thinking about where we are in life and what God has blessed us with, right? We all have gifts. Every single one of us sitting here have the opportunity to serve in some way, somehow. Kind words, cards, comments, handshakes, pats on the back. Some of you make wonderful food. You know, the list would just go on and on if we sat here and we started to think about what so many of you can do so well. And so when you find that, use God's eyes. Look for ways to share that with others. You know, that is your purpose. That is how you can show Christ in you. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Someone have that? Yeah. Do you notice how many times Scripture is telling us that it's really helping us understand the purpose of serving God? And what do we learn here, Billy? What does it tell us? Everything we do is for the glory of God. Do you think about that? Do you think of everything? It's not just something. Everything you do is for the glory of God. Did you think about that today? Yeah. I mean, when you think about that, does it change the way you behave? Yes. In what ways? More energy. How about more patience? Do you have more patience? More intentional. Say more about that. What do you mean?
I'm intentional about how I serve, you know, how I go about my day, how I treat people, how my attitude is displayed. You know, it's intentional for me. I purposely, you know, with it on my mind to do my best to display the characteristics of Christ in everything that I do.
Yeah. Very good. Other thoughts? Yeah, more want. Do it like you. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, people recognize that, don't they? You can tell when somebody is doing it as if they were serving the Lord. Turn over to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And I want to look at that real quick. So in Romans 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And we'll just stop there for a minute. When we think about serving Christ, we see Paul referring to himself as what? A bondservant. What does that mean? A what? Slave servant. What else? So they intentionally place themselves. Yeah. So when we think about being, do you think of yourselves as a bond servant to Christ? You know, are we that close? Do we see that relationship so valuable that we don't even consider leaving? Everything we do is about Him and serving Him, right? And I think that's the thing that the Scriptures really have impressed upon me as we've been studying this and was looking through this lesson is, you know, if we're going to be a Christian, we got to be a full Christian. You know, there's no part-time Christian. I can't do it three-quarters of the time. You know, I'm all in. Right. And that's a very popular phrase now. And maybe we should use that more when it comes to thinking about our service to God is that we are all in. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. If we're trying to serve man, we've got it all wrong. Right. This is about serving Christ. And when we're serving others with the heart that we're supposed to have, we're bringing honor to God. And that is really where we have to continue to focus, right? This whole lesson is about being more zealous for God. If we're more zealous for God, we're going to look for ways to serve others, because that's how we're following God's plan for us. There was a little phrase that kind of stuck with me. I saw it in one of the it may have been a little poem or something I was reading. I read a lot, even though Jennifer says I don't. It's just a lot of short stuff, real short. But it said, service is your purpose. You know, and I thought, wow, that's so true. Service is your purpose. We're here to serve God. And who? Others. This is pretty simple, right? And so it was like, wow, that just kind of really stuck with me. Service is my purpose. Now, I don't know that I live my life that way. I don't know that I think about it as often as I should. But I think now that phrase will stick with me a lot longer. One, because it's short. And two, because it has real meaning behind it, right? I mean, it's really a powerful little statement. So I want to look at something Jesus said to his Heavenly Father in John chapter 17 and verse 4. Somebody have that, John 17 verse 4. Yeah. What did Christ recognize about his time here on earth? He had a purpose. He totally had a purpose. And when he accomplished his purpose, who was being glorified? God. Does God have a purpose for you? Does he have a plan for you? Yeah, without a doubt. What is the real question we have to ask ourselves? It's not whether God has a plan. It is, am I willing to accept that? Right? Wasn't there a show that used to say something about, you know, if you so choose to accept this mission, Mission Impossible, right? Isn't that what we're really saying when we put on Christ? We so accept this mission. James. Yeah. It's really also just kind of recognizing that everything's his to begin with, right? So all of those things we think are ours, but they're really blessings from him for us to use to bless other people, right? So, you know, when you're using the means that you have been provided to help others, really you're just blessing them with what God blessed you. You know, you're kind of just the transaction to help them. You know, God gave you the ability to help somebody, and that's why you're using those blessings. So if we understand our mission is to use our God-given talents and gifts to serve others, how hard is it to serve other people? Is it hard? No. Sometimes? Yeah. Ask yourself this. God says we're supposed to serve others, and who does that apply to in this room? All of us. So who are we all going to try and serve in this room? Each other. What if you don't let someone serve you? Yeah. You're hindering their service, right? You're discouraging them. What can cause that to happen? What is usually the reason why we do that? Pride, right? You know, maybe. But is it our judgment to make if they're trying to serve? It's really not. If someone sees what they think is a need and they're trying to help you and you are blocking it, you've discouraged that person. You know? And have you ever tried to give somebody help or aid or serve somebody and them tell you no? How did you feel? Yeah. You weren't as eager to go do it, were you? Right? It really does impact us, right? When someone pushes us away, not only are we less likely to go back to them and help, what are we also less likely to do? Help anyone else. And so isn't it interesting that our own pride can create such a problem when it comes to service and prevent us from allowing others to do what God has told them they are supposed to be doing? And so you might think of yourself as a stumbling block. You know, and that is probably something we don't like to think of ourselves as. But we can find ourselves in that position if we continue to push other people away, if we don't let them serve us, if it's a pride issue, if we don't want them to do it because we don't want them to think we need help, that we've got this all under control. Right? I would submit to you that I think that is really, really scary situation to find yourself in. And I think it is discouraging for so many people when they can't do what they want to do. So we just need to be mindful that if we have the opportunity to serve others, we need to be willing to do it. And if somebody is trying to serve us, maybe you have to say yes. You know, let them do that, right? So when I think about service and kind of closing in our lesson, I wanted to look at a longer passage, it's Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. So we'll let you turn there. And I want to take just a minute to read this because I think this is a really powerful passage. And it says, beginning in verse 31, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on the left." Verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" Verse 37, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he will answer to them, truly I say to you, to the extent you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The question I have for you is, how important is loving service to God? When you read that, what does that feel like to you? Yeah, there's some serious consequences if we don't do what? If we don't serve others. Yes, sir. Yeah. I mean, when you read that passage and you think about judgment and you see what you had the opportunity to do and you either did it or you didn't do it, and that resulted in separation from God or being with Him forever, service is what we have been commanded to do, right? Jesus came to serve, not be served, to the point where He died on a cross, the ultimate service. And so here we read quite a few passages, quite a few verses put together here for us to understand how important loving service is for us. Jordan? Yeah, it is not necessarily the most popular thing right now to serve others, right? And I think we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in the fact that, well, there's not much I can do, or, you know, I don't have a lot of money, or it's not about all of that, right? We can serve in so many different ways. And when you read that passage, would you want to be standing on the other side of Jesus and having Him say, when you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and you... Can you imagine what that's going to feel like? I don't ever want to experience that, right? And so the blessing is we have time right now to do something about it, right? Now is the time to be serving others. Chris.
I think about it in terms of if someone came to you and said, you are literally dying. You have to do this. It's not an option. not concerned whether or not it's hard to do it. He's concerned whether or not we'll do it.
Yeah.
And he's saying it in a sense where it's not an option. You look at your health and you're saying, if I don't do this, I'm going to die. If you don't do this, you're going to die. You're going to be literally separated from me. And I'm not giving you an option. It may be hard, but it's better for you to do the things that are hard. So in the aftermath, your life will be easy, opposed to you worrying about doing the things that are easy, and your life turns hard.
Yeah. A good friend of mine, when we lived in Indiana, he was the hardest working guy I ever met. I mean, he had multiple jobs, and I mean, I couldn't hardly keep up with him. And I'm like, how do you do this? And he's like, hey, there's plenty of time to rest when I die. What was he thinking? Right? He knew that there's a better place. But while he was here to work. Billy? Yeah, great point. Well, that is the end of our class. Thank you for your time. I hope as the week progresses, Lord willing, you have the opportunity to think about your abilities and how you can serve others, and that we strive to mirror Christ and see people through God's eyes. Thank you so much.